Who's this guy in the front row here? Lots of prayers, lots of concern. God's in control. He's in control. He's in control of his people. And no matter what it seems like, he's in control. I was really touched this week by watching on the news that there were three young ladies that were hassled by a state representative at an abortion clinic. And I was so touched at the way they handled it, because they handled it so godly. They were so cool about it, and no animosity at all. And this guy was saying really obscene things towards them, and he's an elected official, which just blew my mind. And without saying anything bad, the next day, the abortion clinic had almost 1,000 Christians praying in front of this clinic. I don't think if he realized what would happen, he would have even bothered them. You know what I'm saying? Well, we got 4 today, and we got 1,000 tomorrow. If I complain now, we're going to have 10,000. What's going to go on? But it was really neat that God showed his power through his people in such a loving and in such a caring way. Why don't you ever see an elephant hiding in a tree?
He's already got a trunk.
That's pretty good. Because they're really good at it. They're really good at it. Nobody's ever seen them. Okay. Romans 12:2 tells us that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now that's a big mouthful, isn't it? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. Why do we need that? Why do we need renewed? Why does our minds need renewed? Well, I remember what I was before I accepted Jesus, and I was only a fourth grader, okay? We're not inherently good. Just pick up a newspaper. I mean, wouldn't it be great if just little tidbits of news was all the bad stuff going on and everything else was good? Seems like it's the other way around. They never advertise or talk about the good stuff that's going on, but they always talk about the bad stuff. Well, as Christians, we're called to transform our minds, to renew our minds. So is this through a seminar? Do we sign up today? Ralph's seminar to renew your mind. For the first 50 callers, bamboo and chimes. No, that's not quite how it works, but we're going to look a little bit today at that. And if it's things you already know, then expect God to use them this week. If it's things you don't know, praise God. That's great. But it seems to be sort of basic. But there was a year with Indiana basketball, and I'm an avid IU fan, even when they're really bad. There was a year when Bobby Knight pulled them all aside. Now, these are prima donna players from all over the nation. The best of the best at that time, especially. Not so much now, but that's the way it was. And he said, okay, practice is over. We're going to shoot free throws. We're going to shoot layups. We're going to dribble. We're going to pass. He went back to the basics. Well, why did he do that? Because if you can't play basic basketball, you can't win games. It doesn't matter how high you can jump. If you can't put the ball through the hoop, you can't pass it. And we as Christians, sometimes we need to back up just a little bit. Sometimes we get the feeling that we're just all of that, right? Hey, I got this. I didn't do that sin 3 times last week. Thought about it 3 times, I didn't do it. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty full of myself right now. But you know what? We all need work in our lives. We all need work in our lives. We all have sin. We all have bad thoughts. I wish I didn't, but sometimes we do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, does this happen overnight? Mm-mm. It doesn't happen at Ralph's seminar. But it happens through a series of events. So we're going to take a look at these. Once again, I'm going to tell you this is simple stuff, but man, if we could latch on to this, Jesus took fishermen and tax collectors and turned the world upside down with 12 men. They got it. So if we can get this and we can share this with others and we can get everybody on board, look out for what God can do for us. In Galatians 2:20, I'm going to turn to that real quick. I'm going to be right here in these little books right here, pretty close. The Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, does that mess anybody up? You ever get caught with those four because they're all like tucked right in or just close together? Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's the way I remember things. So Gentiles eat pork chops. So if you're Jewish, we're sorry, but here we go. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Key word here is by faith. By faith. How many of you had a conversation with Jesus physically? None? Got the wrong church. Doggone it. No, we haven't, have we? How many have seen Moses or talked to Moses? Now, I'm old enough to, but I haven't. What I'm saying is, I take that by faith, don't I? Now, the people in the early church, they took things. They got to see Jesus. They got to walk with him. They got to be fed by the fish and loaves. They heard Peter tell the story. And there's probably nothing like somebody telling the story for the first time, right? I mean, when you get it watered down, you know, but somebody comes out, you're not going to believe what happened. You're right, I don't. But he's telling about the story. So they had that. And you know, when Jesus died, there was a really cool thing happened. Did you know the graves opened up and people from old was walking around talking to people for 40 days? I mean, they saw these things. Man, that's pretty easy to believe, right, when you see that. But now we, on the other hand, we've never seen Jesus. We've never talked to him personally. I've heard God speak to my heart, but I've never had writing on the wall or anything. So we have to believe by faith, don't we? We have to have faith in things. And thank goodness it's just in religion, right? How many of you drove here tonight? How many thought that when you turned the key, the car was not going to start? Now, Daryl, we had faith it was going to start, didn't we? How many had faith that the rest of us was going to be here at this time? Well, yeah, that's what happens. That's why? Because that's what we've experienced. So as we walk in our Christian faith, we gain those things as well. I don't have to worry about, do I have faith that God's going to answer a prayer? Not in here. Because I know he's going to. Why? Because he answers prayers for me. He's answered my prayers many, many times. And the latest example is just like sitting here as well. So it's Christ living in us. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith, the definition, is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, first, our 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is going to seem like a sword drill to you. You don't have to turn to them. I give the scriptures to you. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a better translation is mirror, the glory of God, are changing into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into our lives as Christians and we see ourselves in that mirror, we should see ourselves being more like Jesus. And when we see ourselves more like Jesus, what is that? That's God's glory, isn't it? That's Jesus' glory. So as we change our lives, to be more like Jesus. When we look into the mirror, that's who we should see. Now, if we don't, it should frighten us, because maybe there's some changes we need to do in our lives. Philippians 2:13 tells us that God is the one working in you. He's the one changing your life. In 2:12 it says we need to obey. So as we obey, God changes our lives. What can God do with someone who doesn't want to obey? I mean, you can talk to your blue in the face to a kid who don't want to do what you're telling them to do, right? How many's ever told their kids to clean their room up? How'd that work? That's what I thought. I remember one time I told my son to do that, and I said, "Hun, you're going to have to clean your room up, because I'm going to come in with a black trash bag, and everything that's on your floor is going in the bag." I told him that, and I told him that now I'm not going to be a liar. So I went with a black trash bag. Well, I had to go get another one. His homework, his school books, his games, everything went in the two bags. I made him put them in there. I said, now put them all in the bags and tie them. He goes, "Dad," he's crying. He goes, "My homework. I'm going to get in trouble." I said, "No, you're already in trouble. You're already there. Don't worry. You made it." So set the bags in the hall. So shaking and crying, boy, out he went, and he put the bags in the hall. And after about an hour, I said, "Now, honey, come here. I want you to open those bags, and I want you to put the stuff up where it goes." Now, I didn't say I was going to throw everything away. I said I was going to make you put everything in a black bag and take it out. Now, that's what we did. Don't make me throw stuff away, because you can't put it up. Well, he learned a really cool lesson that day, you know, without me having to say too much. But don't know where I was going there, but that sounded good. Okay, sometimes if we don't want to do what our parents tell us to do, then we're not going to notice a change in our lives that we need. And when we don't mind what God tells us to do, it's the same thing. And oftentimes we think, I'll get back to you. No, you won't. No, you won't. He's going to stay right there and hound you until it's right. He's not going to let you back up and go around this thing. You're going to have to go through it. How many of you, when you pray for things, "Lord, get me through this thing"? You know, well, that's the prayer. But when you ask him to take you around the thing, he's going, mm-mm. You got to go through this, Ralph. You got to go through this. Now, some things are a lot harder to go through than others. Some of us have lost loved ones, and I'm really sorry for those who have. I can't even imagine. I know how I go nuts when Wanda gets sick. I do. It just, my heart just drops. We don't know what God is doing through that, but we know it's always good. Something always good comes from it. And I like, James, what you said, that it's not the circumstance you're happy about, but holy cow, the Lord's on your side. The Lord's on your side. So we see ourselves changing. We see ourselves transforming. God is working in us, and we need to obey. In Galatians 5, we're not going to take a lot of time to go through that. Talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, happiness. There's a lot of fruit of the Spirit, and that's the things we should be seeing in our lives. And if we don't see those things in our lives, then we've got problems, don't we? John 15, 4 through 5, I am going to turn to that for just a minute, okay? I like to use a lot of scripture, because Ralph's got an opinion, James has got an opinion, and Alex has got an opinion. But I want you to see what God says about it, because it's not so much what I say, it's what God says. It's important. It's important what Alex says, too. Okay, John 15, 4 and 5. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." There's that fruit thing we're talking about again. "For without me, you can do nothing." I had a very, very good friend. He turned 50. One day, the next day, he found out he had terminal cancer. And 2 days later, he accepted Jesus as a Savior, which is outstanding. It was really, really cool how that all came about. But one of the things that Gary said, I said, Gary, I said, I don't understand something. I said, you know, I work with a lot of people here at Delco. And there are a few of us that always do the right thing. Not ever against the folks, but for what they need, you know, the right things. And we're in a position where we could do bad if we wanted. But Gary, I understand why I do right things because I'm a Christian. But Gary, can I ask you a question? He said, well, you can ask me anything. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. I go, why? Why? And he says, well, I've got things in my life that need cleaned up. And I said, Gary, wait a minute. You're that good? I'm not. The Bible tells me I can't clean up anything in my life.
That's right.
Without Jesus, I can't clean up anything in my life. I can't stop a bad thought. I can't do the right thing if I don't have Jesus in my life. So those of us who think that we don't need Jesus, oh man, are we mistaken. Everything should be bathed in prayer before you do it. Because if he doesn't work in your life, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Well, Gary, I give him some, I said, now you'll laugh when I say this. I said, but Gary, don't you take my word for it. Let me give you some scripture. So I wrote down about 10 scriptures and I gave it to him. And we came in the next day and I said, did you have time to read those? He goes, I sure did. And he said, and I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. Now, the Lord took care of that stuff that Gary could not take care of. So we can't take care of it without Jesus. He is the vine. We had a, you guys ever get those old wild grapes grow up on the fence and stuff? You ever have a house add that? Used to be all the time people wouldn't clean their fence rows off and that fence would just be, it was kind of pretty, you know, once the vine grew down the fence. Well, we had one in our house and I let it go and we even tried canning some of the grapes. And it's not bad, they're just awful small, you know. So we made some jelly out of them. And I cut some branches off and Wanda says, I'm tired of that stupid thing. Why don't you cut that down and get it out of here? I said, okay. And she said, you know, plant your good one if you want some fruit. Get something that gives good fruit. So we cut the branches off. She said, no, that's even uglier. Just cut it down. I said, okay. So I took a bow saw and I cut that thing down about that far off the ground. For 5 days, you couldn't walk back there. The ground was so mushy, you'd sink. You'd sink 2-3 inches. That vine just kept pulling the water, just kept pulling the nutrients out. There's no way those branches could live without it. But even after they were gone, it just kept pouring out. And I thought that was so neat because that's the way Jesus is. He keeps pouring out. Whether we're taking it or not, he keeps on pouring it out like that. I just thought that was a really neat example. In Colossians 3, 5 through 10, it gives us a lot of things that we need to get out of our lives. Once again, I could probably make 4 or 5 sermons out of this. There's a lot of things in our lives that aren't right. If you need any help figuring that out, let me know. I'll let Wanda tell you. No, wait, that's Wanda's for me. That's okay. James can have Kim tell him, you know. We know. We know what these things are. We know what's in our lives that shouldn't be there. We also know that we don't want them there. But once again, if we don't use Jesus, if we don't take his power, those things are going to stay in our lives forever. Sometimes, people as they get older, sometimes they even get harder. Because if you don't deal with things when you're young, guess what? They don't go away. They just keep getting worse. So if you don't see what you like in your life now, don't think it's going to get better. It's not going to. Pray about it. Talk to Jesus about it. And through his power, you can do something about it. In Colossians 3:12, if you're just taking notes for this, there are some things that you should put on, which are really good too. 1 John 1:9. I'm going to read that for you. Like I said, it sounds like a sword drill, doesn't it? Anybody know what a sword drill is? Okay. Well, maybe I'm not going to read it. I am. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we see things in our lives that are burdening us or they shouldn't be there, we confess those things to him. I think the hardest thing for any person is to say, my bad. I think that's one of the things I had my kids doing at a very young age. I say, I don't want excuses. I don't want excuses. I just want you to say, my bad, and let's see what we can do about this, okay? And then let's go on. And that's what God wants us to do. But to do that, what do we have to do? We have to humble ourselves, don't we? We have to say we're wrong, we're mistaken, we're not doing the right things. I, as a father, have never done anything wrong because my children are not here. No, I've done some things that I just look back and I say, oh, Lord. And then I see some things that maybe I didn't make the same mistake with the second child because I learned, you know, I matured, I grew. That's not how you handle this, you know. So as we grow and mature, but we still have sin in our lives. And 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It doesn't say that we haven't sinned because that comes down in chapter 10. It says we've never sinned. It's saying if we say we have not sinned, we're deceiving ourselves. See, that's the flip side of that. It's not saying I've never sinned in my life. Well, that's a flat out lie anyhow. But this is saying, me as a Christian, saying I have no sin is wrong. Do we have any perfect people here? Okay, I was going to say we got another service tomorrow. Yeah. So we all have sin. I'm not saying we can't get a lot closer to God. We can. And we can live a much better life, but we're not without sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess this sin, that he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Psalm 103, can anybody tell me what Psalm 103, 12 through 14 says? It's a song. And I was just noticing how many songs came up as I was preparing this, okay? It's Victory in Jesus. I got a victory one coming up here. Any of you know the Casting Crowns, East from the West? Wow, what an analogy. What an analogy. I wish that when I tell you I forgive you, when you say something to me that's not nice and you say forgive me, I wish I could take it as far as the East is from the West. How far is that? Well, start heading east now. And you'll never end up going west. I don't care how many times you circle the globe. There's another scripture that says that he casts it into the deepest sea. Yeah, he totally forgives it. Isn't that cool? I wish I could forgive like that. But whenever you come up and someone's wronged you, the first thing in your mind is, nah, he wants to be friends. Right? Isn't it? So you're kind of cautious to put your hand back down to the dog that bit you, aren't you? But sometimes it would be nice to be able to forgive and forget and to do that. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, God promises us victory. Victory in Jesus. Yeah, Savior forever. We have victory in Jesus, and that's the only way we can have victory. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, I shared this with Wednesday night, says there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Boy, it takes all the argument out of it. But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to bear it. Wow. Make a way to escape. You're right. Thank you. He'll give you what you need to get through this. Have you guys ever prayed scripture back to God? I do it all the time. And that's the one I use. And you know what I pray? Lord, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that you're not going to send anything my way that's uncommon to man. Because see, that's the first argument we have. Well, if you knew what I was going through... Yeah, Yeah, well, if you knew, you ain't been what I've been through. Well, it's common. It's common. But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And then the next part of my prayer is, God, you got an awful lot of confidence in me because I'm past it, like I'm up to here. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to give me strength or show me a way out because I can't do it. I can't do it. And that's what's called Ralph letting go. And when Ralph can let go, God can do something. Ralph recognizes it. God lets go. Ralph lets go. And God says, now, wasn't that, well, that wasn't so hard, was it? That wasn't so hard. So I love that verse. I love that verse. 1 Timothy 6:11 says that we are to, when we have temptation come our way, that we're to look it over, dabble in it for a week or two. Flee. What's flee mean? Get out of here. Run. Run from it. There's another word. It's only used like once or twice in the Bible. In 1 Peter 3:11, it says eschew. Do you know what eschew means? Nah, don't look down at my feet. Eschew means to not dilly-dally with something, but to go clean around it. Don't have anything, don't even turn it. Look at it, go clean around whatever the problem is. If we're standing, now I'm a pipe fitter, if we're standing in front of a cesspool, what would be the best way to get to the other side? Be the quick way, wouldn't it? But the smart way would be to go around. And back in the older days with Israel, the Samaritans were the lowlifes that nobody wanted to have anything to do with because they weren't purebred. They weren't the upper class. They weren't the priests. They weren't the scribes. They weren't the Pharisees. So if you wanted to go to lower Judea, I'm walking through that. They would walk 2 to 3 days trip out around so they didn't have to walk through Samaria. And when I think of eschew, that's what I think about. We're to eschew. We're to go around. Don't go through. Don't think there's no way you can walk through a muddy pool and not get your feet dirty. So when sin comes our way and we're tempted, don't dabble in it. Turn away from it. We don't give it the glance back thing, okay? So we're to flee from sin. James 1, 2 through 4. Why does God allow things to come into our life? Absolutely. All the above. All the above. So when Jesus lets, when the Holy Spirit lets, when God lets, they're all the same. When they let things come into our lives, it's to make us stronger. He doesn't want a bunch of preschoolers coming to heaven. You know, if the only purpose of being here on earth was to get saved, then we'd get saved and take us on out of here, wouldn't he? No, he wants us to mature. He wants us to grow. How many of us think that when we close our eyes in death, that that's it for us here? No, not really. Because you know who you are. Brad, who you are right now, if you go to heaven, I'm here, Lord. He goes, yeah, I know, Brad. Yeah, great. Welcome. You're going to be the same person that left here. So get on the bandwagon here. Let's get maturing. Let's get to getting closer to the Lord. Let's get closer to hearing some words I'll get you here in a few minutes, okay? So he allows it for spiritual growth. And then there's the one that says, God, you cannot possibly understand what I'm going through. Have you guys ever thought that? I've thought it. Well, in Hebrews 2:18, it says, and also in Hebrews 4:15 through 16, it says that Jesus was tempted in all ways. Well, yeah, but Lord, you didn't. Yeah, he was. But Lord, how about this? Yes, he was. He was tempted in every way, yet he was sin-free. He's been through everything that we could possibly go through. But he's sin-free. He's our example. He's our mediator. So God gave us a free will. So now this is going to sound a little abrupt to you, okay? So as a Christian, we have a choice. Don't you just love choices? We can be as good or as bad as we want to be. We can. We can be as good or as bad as we want to be. It's up to us. We know what it takes to grow. We're going to have to get into His Word. We're going to have to seek out the things in our life that we know are wrong. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to be the person He would want us to be. We also know that we have no power to do that. So we're going to have to depend on Jesus to do that. So we can be as good or as bad as we ever want to be. And then I was talking to Wanda about speaking today. And she said, would you just put one thing in there? I said, well, I'd be happy to, hon. What is it? God will never give up on you. God will never give up on you. God will never give up on you. Even if you decide you're going to be the bad one, you know what? He's still going to be there. He's still going to be knocking on the door. He's going to be gently trying to turn your head to get your attention. He's going to show you what's going on. He's going to show you what you need to do. Matthew 18:22. The disciples are deciding which ones. They're pretty full of themselves too. You know, the Pharisees tell us that we should forgive someone three times. Lord, should we forgive them seven? Woo! Hey, look at you, Matthew. Ain't you the one? Doubling more. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Now, He didn't mean 490. He really did not mean 490 and then you quit. What He's saying is you forgive them as oft times as you need. How many times do we need forgiven more than 490 times? I passed that a long time ago, even for this year. How many times do we have something in our life that we've got to be forgiven 490 times for the one thing? Yeah, we do. And every time I tell Him I'm sorry, I feel so stupid because I do it again. And I'll say, Lord, you know, I'm probably going to do this again. I'm sorry. Honest, I am. Please take that will from me. And please help me to be smart enough to stay away from it instead of dabbling in it. You know what I'm saying? Let me get away from it. That's what I want to do. He'll never give up on you. Tell Wanda I told you. Now I want to give you a few cool examples here, okay? He knew you prior to making you in your mother's womb. He knew you. He knew your personality. He knew what you were going to be like. He knew the problems you were going to have and you were going to have, all of us. He knew us back at that time. Knowing us doesn't mean a name, guys. He knew us intimately. He knew us. He knew what we were going to be. He knew the date of our birth. He knew the date of our salvation. And He knows the date of our death. Now, it's no big thing that He knows the hairs on my head. Right, James? That's rather easy. Yeah, that's easy. Easier for some than others, right, Brad? Okay. God only made a few perfect heads and He covered the rest with hair. But He knew our birth, our death, our salvation. He knew everything about. Now, that's hard for me to fathom. Isn't it for you? But He did. And He died for us. And you know what? If I was the only renegade down here, I was the only sinner and the rest of you is perfect, which I mean, you could probably imagine that, right? He would still die for me. Just me. Just me. Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He's never going to give up. Hebrews 12:2 says, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I guess the encouraging thing to me would be, I don't want Him to say, nah, all right, Ralph, you did okay. I can, you know, you're all right. I want to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we all got choices every day. We've all got choices in our lives. We have choices of whether we acknowledge our sin, whether we patch those holes in the drywall, what we do. But just remember that it's not through our power. It's only through Jesus. It's only for what he did with us. And if every time we look in that mirror, remember that verse. That verse just touched my heart today. That we look in the mirror and we behold God's glory. I never thought about seeing my face in a mirror thinking God's glory. But when Jesus is in my life, I'm beholding God's glory in that part of my life. So that picks me up, makes me feel good. Don't know if it does you, but I hope God's blessed you through the message. Thank you.